It's Bucky and Aaron.
It's Les Miles.
A slimmed down Hollywood actor.
That guy's an actor. He's not just a coach.
Don't you forget it either.
That guy can act.
Major motion pictures recently.
And an ATV commercial, correct?
Yeah. And Ward was, Les Miles was at the coaches convention down in San Antonio, and he had a film crew following him everywhere he went. That's true. That's true. He was like in this full clown suit. Not clown suit, but like a blue suit. And everywhere he went, he had a film crew with him. Les Miles.
I love it. BK thinks he's going to change the fortunes of Kansas.
That ain't true.
You're right about that. That ain't true.
Walk 500 miles. We are rolling on a Friday. B&E with you. Taking you all the way to Trey and BK in the midday. Rod Babers, Chad and Kevin this afternoon. It's actually Chad and Trey. All the way to Texas baseball. Longhorns playing a doubleheader today. Remember, 1 o'clock, it's game one. You'll hear it over on 101.9 and AM 1260. It could be an elimination game for the Longhorns at that point. If last night's already wasn't, Longhorns lose 4-2. They were their own worst enemy. I thought David Pierce said it really well in the Craig Way report just a little bit ago that you knew you were getting Bryce Elder against Nathan Wiles, the Friday starters, the two best pitchers on either team, and it was going to be a tough and tight game. And Wiles pitched really well. And Texas was their own. Texas gave away four runs. I mean, this is why they're 26-26 and 5-16 in the Big 12. I mean, they're the leadoff error in the first inning, which leads to the first run, and then a leadoff walk in the second, which leads to the second run, and then the big buck rally for Oklahoma in the sixth inning to make it a 4-0 game was a walk followed by a balk, a wild pitch, another walk. So then you make them earn it. You're just giving away runs in a tough and tight game.
Sounds like fundamentals to me.
Yep, it sounds like the way this team has played.
Yep.
And that's why they are where they are, and they'll likely see their season come to an end today with a doubleheader to avoid the thunderstorm tomorrow. Thunderstorm happening at Bethpage Black Buck. Not a thunderstorm, but a storm. Give me some breaking news. Give me some breaking news. We mentioned it way to the top of the hour that Brooks Koepka's lead is increasing without him playing, but that's not actually true. We know that Brooks Koepka fired a 63 yesterday, bogey-free round, beautiful round of golf. But he was one stroke better than a guy named Danny Lee in the clubhouse last night. Well, Lee has blown up today. He is four over, so he's all the way back to two under. But the man on the move, DJ, Dustin Johnson, four under for his round through eight holes. He's to five under for the championship.
Yeah, the bombers are out there because if those bombers, and Dustin Johnson now has that left-to-right deal where he makes that baby slide right to the fairway. Especially
to high fade.
Oh, he's hitting that thing nicely. And he was in the fairway a lot yesterday. And when he's on the greens, he just hadn't made any putts yesterday. Sounds like he's making the putts today.
You guys like Phil here?
No. He doesn't hit enough fairways.
No, Phil was in the rough and doing things, and he was barely able to do what he did yesterday, -1, I believe.
Well, we talked about this with Jordan Spieth, and Jordan Spieth is now +1. He was making a move early but has given a couple back, so he's back to even par. Even for the championship, seven off the pace. But Dustin Johnson now to two back. We'll monitor, this is one of the things we talked about with Jordan, that if you can post a score in the morning, the reports are the wind's going to kick up in the afternoon, which is going to make this an even harder golf course, and a low score will be more difficult in the afternoon. So, DJ, post a number here and see if Koepka, can deal with the winds of the afternoon. He and Tiger and Francesco Molinari will tee off about 12:49
today. What's interesting about this course, Wags, is the fact that it's long, but you don't have to be a bomber. You can take your long irons, like four irons and five irons, but you still have to keep it in the fairway. And those guys yesterday, even with the irons, were so pissed at themselves because they were missing the fairway with their irons.
Yeah.
But these two dudes here hitting bombs. And
if you're gonna play conservative,
you have to hit the fairway
to give up distance.
Yes,
you can't then not make the fairway because now you're way back and you're in the rough. I mean, that's a killer. So you got to be straight. And this golf course will test every level, and a lot of bunkers. And now the wind could be kicking up this afternoon.
Koepka's amazing for a guy but he doesn't swing hard. He just is smooth as can be. And when you see that ball, it lands like dead in the middle of the fairway. He didn't get off the fairway that much.
Well, I think it's fair to say, and this is not – I think he's the best ball striker in the world right now. I don't think there's a better ball striker in the world than Brooks Koepka.
It's all about his putting.
And he is so good. All right, so we've got golf on the brain. We've got football on the brain, college football at that, because we're inside 100 days of the college football season. We've also got Warriors up 2-0. We've got Longhorn season coming to an end. We've got big baseball this weekend. But, Buck, let me ask you this. So we're inside 100 days to the college football season.
Yes, sir.
First game of the year, for folks who don't know, is August the 24th. That's how we can say that. The Longhorn season doesn't start for 104 days or 105 days. But the first game is Florida and Miami in Orlando. They're going to play August 24th in Orlando. Florida Gators, second-year head coach Dan Mullen. And Miami's got their new head coach. You know who their head coach is, right?
Yeah, he's a cute little coach. His dad used to be the mayor.
Starts a new coach trivia.
Yeah.
Who's the new coach
Manny
of Miami? Manny
Diaz.
We called him Man Candy when he was
Man
here.
Candy,
the ladies
yeah,
all loved him. Tall, dark, and handsome. You like him there? You know, his dad was the mayor of Miami. He's a native of the city. He grew up rooting for the U. You remember he took the Temple job.
Find that dude right there. If you find that dude a quarterback, you're okay.
Well,
find him a quarterback.
That brings you to Tate Martell.
Yes.
And did you hear what the Miami Herald reported through Tate Martell that when this is where Ohio State is right now. When Justin Fields transferred and announced he was transferring to Ohio State, Tate Martell told ESPN and the Miami Herald that the staff at Ohio State told him to transfer. But yeah, they said, hey, you know what's going to be best for you? Beat it.
Thank you. Thank you for being honest. I'm out of here.
Yeah. See ya. That's something you don't hear very often,
no.
Is it?
Yeah, fine. I'd like for somebody to tell me the truth like that. I need to get out of here? Okay. That means no matter what I do or how good I am, I'm not going to be the starter. I think I need to go.
Here's the way it says. It says, Martell told ESPN.com that the Ohio State staff told him what his next step should be after the season wrapped up. You know, you might want to just go ahead and transfer.
That's fine.
Well, that leads you to Miami. How good is he? If Ohio State's telling the dude to walk... And this is a five-star kid out of Bishop Gorman out there in Las Vegas. Maybe he's not that good. We'll see.
Find out how good Fields is.
Yeah, well, Justin Fields, right? That's who they have. And now Ohio State is in a spot where, hey, Matthew Baldwin's transferred. Tate Martell has transferred. Remember Joe Burrow, who's going to start for LSU? He's transferred out. They don't have any quarterbacks behind Justin Fields, so he better stay healthy.
Not making any excuses for Georgia, but I'm wondering if Justin Fields, all the stuff with him at Georgia, was part of the downfall of where Georgia ended up later in the year.
Well, it's just Texas beating them. They were really good at the end.
They
blew the game with Alabama when Jalen Hurts came in, brought them all the way back, and won the SEC championship game. And that leads us to start the conversation on college football, Buck, with, okay, so when you look at the Vegas odds for 2019,
mm-hmm.
there are three tiers of teams, according to Vegas. There's Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. Clemson is 2-1 to win the championship. Bama 5-2. Georgia 7-1.
Yep.
Then there's the second tier, which is Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Michigan. They are Ohio State's 12-1. Oklahoma's 14-1. Michigan is 14-1. Which one of those three schools do you think would be the most likely to push into tier one?
Ohio State.
Yeah, I got to see this Ryan Day. They're replacing one of the greatest coaches of all time in Urban Meyer. World-class issues off the field, but nobody can doubt what he could do.
World-class players on the field.
Yeah, but can Ryan Day coach? Is he Lincoln Riley, where he just picks up where Bob Stoops left off, or is this a slide from what Urban Meyer brought to the table week to week, game to game?
What's crazy is a slide for them would be losing two games.
Well, guess what? Those two games could be to Michigan or Penn State, and all of a sudden Michigan's in
it. Well, it ain't going to be Penn State. They beat those clowns.
Dude, Penn State's had them beat twice.
James Franklin can't beat Ohio State. He can't win a big game.
No, he just can't. Well, that's what this is my question on Ryan Day. Is he a big game coach? I mean, Urban Meyer was the best big game coach when he was at Florida, when he was at Ohio State. There's no doubt. The bigger the game, the bigger the moment, the better Urban Meyer's teams play. That's what we don't know about Ryan
Correct.
Day.
We know in the beginning of the season when they played nobody, he was okay.
Yeah. And Urban Meyer was still there. I mean, he just was suspended. But come on, don't think he didn't have big influence on what they were doing.
Game plan-wise.
This is now Ryan Day's ship. And they also lost their defensive coordinator, Ohio State. Alex Grinch is at Oklahoma. They've had some pretty good change on their coaching staff at Ohio State.
Ohio State punked Michigan at the end of the year, didn't they, that game?
Big time.
Do you remember that?
Big time. It was a beatdown. This was Jim Harbaugh's chance to punch the ticket.
He got beat down.
And got smacked.
He got smacked by the Buckeyes.
OU 14-1 as well. That's the real interesting question of Jalen Hurts is, Lincoln Riley, what can he get out of Jalen Hurts, who went 27-1, won a national title at Alabama, and here he is in Norman.
For the first time in a long time, I'm not buying into the geniuses play this year.
You're not buying Lincoln?
Nope. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying. And that defense was so bad last year, you can't turn that thing around in 1 year. You'd have to get rid of everybody, including the trainers and anybody that had anything to do who touched that defense.
Well, they brought in the new guy from Ohio State and paid him a lot of money. So we'll see if Grinch can – did the Grinch save the defense at Oklahoma? All right, the third tier, according to Vegas, includes LSU, Auburn, and Texas.
Yes.
LSU is 20-1, Auburn 20-1, Texas 25-1.
Who's liable to move up into the second group?
Or which one of those teams could move into tier two or tier one?
The Texas Longhorns.
Ooh, bold. Bold young man.
Oh, in my mind, I think Texas will be in the final, get to the final four this year, because if they all they have to do is they have to beat, not all they have to do, they have to beat Oklahoma
and LSU.
But you can still get there if you lose to LSU and you still beat Oklahoma and you have one loss.
True.
Yep.
That's true.
That can happen.
But the LSU game is a huge barometer week too. Huge barometer. We told you yesterday.
Well, hell, to me, the first game is the barometer. Where what are they doing in game one?
are they
awake?
Oh, be ready for that one.
Right.
And that's look. This is where the veteran leadership on this team.
Yeah, when you're good, you smash those teams.
Yes,
you move on.
This is where a guy like Sam Ehlinger doesn't let this team.
No.
You know, take a game off. But LSU 20-1. Mm-hmm. How about Auburn? A lot of people think Auburn with Gus Malzahn can be a double-digit win team this year. I don't know.
Always find a game that he'll lose. So
plus
he's
got to
play. Does he play Bama this year? Somehow, some way, if they were to get somewhere, he'd have got to play Bama anyhow. You all have to play him in the SEC.
You got to find a way. Got to find a way to beat that group. Now A&M was able to beat Alabama last year. We beat LSU last year in that crazy 7 overtime game. And remember, start of the season, week 2. September 7th, we now know what the doubleheader is. 2:30 in the afternoon, it's A&M at Clemson.
That's the bet coming up right there. Where's College Game Day going?
The nightcap is Texas and LSU from Austin.
Vegas has on that.
Like where they will be? What's your guess right now?
I don't know. I think
College Game Day will be at Clemson for Aggies Tigers.
Defending champ?
Defending champions, first big game.
That quarterback?
And by the way, the non-conference games this
year. The run
year,
for the Heisman for him?
Yeah, for Trevor Lawrence, but then it's Texas LSU.
I don't know. Night game.
I don't know.
What time is that game? Did you say 2:30? Is that the 2:30 window?
2:30 and then 6:30. We'll roll right into one another.
Dude, they're
take your thoughts.
They're going to Clemson. They're going there.
They're going
to the Valley.
I did see where Paul Feinbaum, you know, Mr. College Football or whatever they call him, or Mr. SEC Homer.
The guy with the ears?
The ears, yes, yeah. On ESPN. He had Andy Staples of Sports Illustrated on with him and the Athletic. And he said, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia are kind of in a different class than everyone else. Texas, you could probably add to that group. It's not a big group. And Florida and some others not in that right now. So there's Andy Staples putting Texas just outside or kind of into that conversation with Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia. And I'm with you on the Sooners. Until I see them play some defense and see how they utilize Jalen Hurts, they got to stop some people.
And this is not being Texas Homer for me. This is that time right now.
Well, you used to watch Bob Stoops' car, so I mean, we know you're an Oklahoma fan. No, that was me. That was me that was Bob.
Is that you or was that BK? Well, BK still does. He still rooms with Kyler Murray. They still room right now. In Arizona at times. So.
Well, listen, if he takes them to another Big 12 title and Jalen Hurts is up for a Heisman, you might as well just go ahead and build the statue of Lincoln Riley today.
I'm going to agree with that 100%. If Lincoln Riley can find a way to get in that Final Four with this kid and no defense, then Tom Herman over the next couple of years has got a lot of work to do because that guy can work miracles.
Huh.
I'm not saying bad things about Jalen Hurts. He wasn't in the type of offense. I bet you that guy can really throw if they were to just drop back and throw it too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's another Texas transfer. I mean, obviously Baker Mayfield from Lake Travis, and
it's the third one or second one.
Kyler Murray, and here comes the third one. He's from Channelview down in the greater Houston area, and obviously had an unbelievable record at Alabama. So we'll get to see it all up close. That's your college football. Let me ask you, Buck. Wags, you're in on this too. New coaches and new places. Got to learn your coaches for 2019. Buck, who is the new coach at Kansas?
The guy who eats grass, Les Miles, the movie star.
Okay. Kansas State?
Who knows?
Come on! That's in your conference. We got to know these people.
The son of the coach that was there before.
No, it's not Bill Snyder's kids. It's still called Bill Snyder's Family
okay,
Stadium.
Okay, that's good. That's a good one.
Wags, you have a memory of who the new K-State coach is to replace the legendary Bill Snyder?
I do not.
Come on, man. Chris Klieman. Remember, he comes in from one of the Dakotas?
South Dakota.
No,
sorry, North Dakota. North Dakota's.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can name from where they came from. We should be. That's almost like a win for
West
Wags
Virginia. West Virginia, Buck?
Well, their coach
Dana
is now,
Holgerson's now
he's
at Houston.
Houston, yeah. He's now a Coug. Division. Somebody from another Dakota is here.
No. Troy. Troy,
the app, yeah.
Neil Brown is our new coach. What about Texas Tech? Cliff Kingsbury now in the NFL.
Another guy from Division II who's won championships right out in North Dakota or South Dakota.
Come on. Matt Wells from Utah State.
That's going to take me a while before I get any of these deals.
You know the new coach at Colorado is? Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker is in.
Mac Brown is at North Carolina.
Mac Brown is at North Carolina.
Thank
knocking
you very
it
much.
Out of the park. Yeah, so we're going to have to learn all these as we get going on this. You know who's coaching at Liberty now?
Hugh McFreeze. Can't believe that guy got a gig anywhere.
And let me ask you this, and then we'll get to the timeout.
Okay. Who's the new coach at Louisville?
Louisville?
Yeah.
Scott Satterfield.
Where was Scott Satterfield at? He was an Ohio State guy, right?
No,
was he
Satterfield
not?
Was at, one of the Carolina schools, I believe. I'll look it up.
Eastern Carolina.
East Carolina or
there
something like that. Scott Satterfield. Yeah. Maryland's got Mike Locksley now. Man Candy Diaz.
That's a mess already.
And of course, down at Texas State, you've got our man Jake Spavital knocking it out of the park. All right, so those are your new coaches. But let me ask you this, and we'll put this out there to the listeners. We'll also ask you, where is College Game Day more likely to be week two? Is it Clemson or here in Austin? What's the better game? What's the more
The better game is Texas LSU.
Because remember, last year, Clemson was your 1,000-unit gold star
right.
Or your 10,000-unit gold star lock, which, by the way, you lost that last night, by the way, with Golden State, just for the people.
You just got to pay the juice. It's not much on that 3,500-unit play, is there?
No.
Lots of juice.
No, you got crushed.
Yeah.
Which second-year coach do you think takes the biggest step forward this year? Second-year coach, your
Aggies coming back with their quarterback, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they got their quarterback back.
You're talking about Dan Mullen at Florida?
I like Dan Mullen's chance.
Talking about Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M in year two. You know, we saw Tom Herman go from 6-6 to ten wins in year two and take a big step forward. Which one of these second year coaches makes that big step and shows his team? Is it Jimbo?
Florida's just like Miami. If you give me a
what
quarterback
about Scott
with that
Frost
stuff,
Frost at Nebraska?
Hell no. JT Martinez.
Is
it JT
UCLA?
Martinez, the hitter from the Red Sox playing quarterback?
JD Martinez. Who's the Astros will face this weekend, who's hit home runs in three straight
games.
He's
playing baseball and quarterback at Nebraska. They got a shot. That kid's up for the Heisman Trophy.
Willie Taggart at Florida State in year two.
Yeah, another brother gone. Another brother gone in year two. Yeah.
And Chip Kelly at UCLA.
How long do you think they're going to put up with Willie Taggart at Florida State? One more year.
Dude, it's not good to have 1 year under your belt and already be in damage control mode. You're taking on water in a big way.
Yeah.
Oh, and your quarterback transferred. What a mess. I'll be interested. That's good. There's a little college football primer inside 100 days.
I do like Manny Diaz at Miami. That guy, if he gets recruiting in that area and he finds the quarterback, look out. They got everything else.
Mark Richt just walking out of there. See ya.
Did they just say goodbye to him, like push him out the door? Was he pushed out the door?
It was a disagreement. Remember, they wanted say on who his new offensive coordinator would be, and he didn't want them to have say, so it was a power struggle. And he said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm out. And then, of course, Manny Diaz had already taken the Temple job and then had to give up the Temple job to take the Miami gig.
Yeah.
All right, there you
Temple's
go.
Temple's got a new quarterback, a new head coach.
Who? Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby doesn't. He's not even, they don't have the statue of him
Remember,
anymore.
Big 12 has four new coaches. They almost had five because maybe lost in that New York Jets situation. The New York Jets almost hired Matt Rhule. I read that, and when I was reading about
the New York Jets,
I was reading about the firing of their GM and team president, and word was one of the things that the owner was frustrated with was the coaching search and how it was bungled, and that even Adam Gase, after being hired, kind of reported back to the owner like, these guys are a bunch of clowns in this hiring process, because the word was with Matt Rhule would have taken the job, but the Jets wanted to pick his coaching staff for him.
By the way, you know where the Bill Cosby statue is?
Where?
It's in the basement right beside the Joe Paterno statue.
No, but that was the word, that Matt Rhule would have been the coach of the Jets if he could have picked his own staff. And instead, he's back with the Baylor Bears for another year.
And it's right next to the one that has Art Briles as the statue, too. They're all in the same basement right now.
Oh, and Dr. Larry Nasser.
Oh, and Dr. Larry Nasser,
By the way, I saw the documentary over the weekend on that. What a despicable. That is hard to watch. The 2 hours of the documentary of the gymnasts and that story is as hard a thing as you'll watch for 2 hours.
And I hate to say there are other people to blame, but I don't know
there are a lot of
how some of these young girls had their parents thought that's the way that you had exams done. I don't know where is it that some of those exams that a mother would think that's what you're supposed to do as an exam. How the hell would you think that's possible?
We'll come back. Know? Well, you need to watch that then. It really takes you behind the scenes and what the parents knew and did not know and could not know. I mean, this guy was an ultimate scumbag.
But you know, some of them
monster
knew that it wanted to get their daughters to move on, just kept on going.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just
we got to get a timeout. But
wow.
The first young girl that brought charges for Larry Nasser was not a gymnast. It was a family friend who he molested when she was 6 years old. And that story, you want to talk about heartbreaking. He molested her from when she was six until she was a teenager, and the families were close, and the father told his daughter he didn't believe, like the daughter was telling her parents about this, and the father did not believe the daughter, because Larry Nasser was this respected doctor. Once he found out, once the charges came, he killed himself. Killed himself for the guilt of... I mean, the story is just unbelievable. But Larry Nasser is maybe a number one with Jerry Sandusky and the rest. We'll come back. When we do, we'll pick up the conversation. Your thoughts on the college football landscape. 100 days out, we also have PGA Championship leaderboard. We get an update. Is Dustin Johnson still surging? Where's Jordan Spieth? Details next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Keep an eye on Jordan Spieth. He is a part of the featured group right now at PGA Championship Round 2. It's streaming live at pgachampionship.com. He's playing with Jon Rahm and the man on the move, Dustin Johnson, who is just giving a stroke back. He's 3-under for his round today, but 4-under for the championship. Made a bogey at 8, and they just made the turn. They're playing number 1. They started on 10. So we'll keep an eye on the featured group. Of course, Tiger Woods and his crew with Brooks Koepka will tee off about 10 minutes to 1 o'clock today to get that going. So that'll be good afternoon TV watching, Buck, if you can lay up and watch Brooks Koepka all afternoon.
I did that yesterday.
And today you're playing.
Yeah, that was exciting, but Koepka made it look too easy. He wasn't having any problems yesterday at all.
I saw Brandel Chamblee on Golf Channel say it pretty well. He said, I've been flipped off before, but it felt like for 18 holes that guy was just flipping me off. And that, I mean, not in a bad way. He's just like... He's just so, robotically good. It's like, screw you people. I'm just going to destroy this golf course, which everyone else is finding really hard, and I don't find it hard at all. So
They don't use the tracer, when they don't use the tracer, just look down the fairway. You'll see his ball.
I know. I mean, everyone else is bumped, like grinding, trying to get out of the rough and figure it out. And this dude's just boop, boop, boop. Like he's playing. It's like he's playing over at Mo Willie or something. It's just a piece of cake.
As I said, if Dustin Johnson.
Not that Mo Willie's a piece of cake, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is.
I find that golf course very hard.
Do you?
Morris Williams? It's the crowned greens.
That's true. If it goes over, it comes out the other way.
Yeah, bounces off. You've got to be pretty precise there.
If DJ can putt, which
he just missed
a four-footer. just pulled
uphill it. Uphill four-footer, pulled it.
Right. I mean, when that guy can, when he putts, he's good. And right now, you can say the same for Koepka. Yesterday, he knew he had everything going on, and he left a couple out there, he said, at the par fives.
That's the whole thing. He shot 63, and if you watched the whole round, it could have been 61. He didn't birdie the par fives, but he missed real short birdie putts on both par fives. I mean, inside 5 feet, that just edged. That could have been a historically great round.
I think the New Yorker's going, hey, where's your wife, DJ? Where's Paulina?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. Yeah, DJ and Jordan and Rom just left the number one hole. They're headed to number two. We'll keep an eye on that. All right, Buck, we've got this. We told you about the petition urging HBO to remake Game of Thrones. It's the entire eighth season. It's now got 500,000 signatures.
Dude, that thing only had 150,000 early in the week. It's now got 500,000?
That gives you an indication of how people are disappointed with the plot lines here in season eight. Not real happy with
it. See, we're not having any of that when it comes to Survivor. We're not getting any of that kind of stuff.
Well, that's real life.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's reality TV.
Yeah.
This is drama. You know, this is fictitious drama.
Everybody was going to be disappointed anyways, man. It's the greatest thing that we've had for the past 10 years, and they're breaking up with us. It's like Rod says, every day.
Yeah, well, but it does seem like it's a different show, but they're trying to accomplish a lot quickly, I think, is the biggest issue, and the nuance of the show has...
Are you saying they could have done a couple more shows and given you a little bit more to help out the ending?
Well, they needed to.
I think that's what the argument is. I mean, this thing was carefully crafted for seven seasons, and it was just almost meticulous in its building and the uncertainty of how it's going to end. And now it just seems like it's like a boulder crashing down a hill coming at
Sounds
you.
Sounds like they're pissed at the writers.
That's
at
right.
The end.
That's right. And there's no books to go off of now. I mean, they've got to invent this themselves. Not George R.R. Martin is no longer, so you're coming up with your own. And
ooh.
Yeah. Hey, this says, Buck, speaking of Survivor, thanks for the Survivor spoiler, Buck. Didn't have a chance to watch till last night, and you saved me a good hour of fluff after the main event. Show of the people. Thanks.
Yeah, it's got tons of fluff.
This guy's on our college football conversation. Let's see what the genius Lincoln Riley, what a genius he is having to replace that entire offensive line. Now, that's one of the big factors of the Big 12. You know, we talk about Kyler Murray going to the NFL where he goes from having a great offensive line, a wall in front of him with Cody Ford and that crew, to a bad one in Arizona. Well, that also means Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts are going to be breaking in a brand new offensive line.
Yeah. This is the first time this is the first time in years that last couple of years especially, that I think Oklahoma is vulnerable to lose. And I think this is the time for Texas to rise. I don't care which people, I know people think that its defense is going to be, I got a lot of faith in the defensive coordinator, and especially these guys coming out of the secondary that play like linebackers and they're going to blitz. And I understand LSU and everybody else is going to test Texas, to test that defensive line. They're not going to let that go by. They're not going to say we're going to go just throw the ball over the place, because the secondary is really good. I think is going to be good. And if they can't withstand what's going to come at them on the ground, it will be a problem for Texas. But I got faith that these guys that are playing in the secondary are like linebackers and can help out that front seven. They're really going to help them out, because they're going to have faith enough that the guys on the backside can handle a lot of one-on-ones.
Right, and with the safeties they have,
yes.
You're talking about Brandon
Veterans.
Jones and Caden Stearns now. Caden's a sophomore, but he feels like a junior or senior. You just have so much trust that they can handle the back end, and you can do some more exotic things with that joker position where you're going to see a lot of B.J. Foster and DeMarvion Overshown kind of in a box, you know, a safety, but kind of down in the box. You can bring those guys.
And they're good blitzers. They know how to time things up.
That's right. And that's the good of the question. I mean, to me, that determines the ceiling of Texas is can Todd Orlando's defense, even with a total change in personnel, the only three guys you've heard of that are coming back are Malcolm Roach, Brandon Jones, as I mentioned, and Jeffrey McCullough. I mean, those are your three guys that you've seen a lot of football of. The rest of them are young faces. But if you can get this defense back to what they were in year one under Todd Orlando, where they could stop the run, make you one-dimensional, and then break out the exotic blitzes and force turnovers, which they did. So I mean, you go back to 2 years
this
ago.
This offense can keep the ball from you
that's
for
right.
a long time.
Because in year one, Todd Orlando's defense was the strength, no doubt, with Malik Jefferson, Deshaun Elliott, Puna Ford. And those guys, I mean, remember when they had that run of playing great quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, and just to terrorize those guys. I mean, those guys had their worst games of the year against the Todd Orlando defense. That's the question. In year three, with your own personnel coming online, you got to replace eight guys, but they feel like the young guys coming in can be better. If they get back to playing that style of defense, because that's what happened last year, they couldn't stop run. They couldn't stop the running game, Buck. I mean, when you saw them play West Virginia and Oklahoma State,
right,
and those teams that were going up and down the field on them, yes, they had great quarterbacks in Will Grier and company, but they couldn't stop the run. So
yeah.
You couldn't make a team one-dimensional. If they can get back to that, and that's your point about LSU, if you can make Joe Burrow beat you against LSU because they're not running the ball consistently,
right,
that's when you start forcing the issue on them and forcing them to make mistakes.
And the scoring zone, to me, for Texas will be not the 20 and in or the 25, but the 30. If Dicker the kicker is much better than he was as a freshman, which you expect him to be, he'll be even better. He's got, I mean, that guy wasn't even hardly in the weight room where he was. This guy will be in the weight room. You can depend on him from 40, 45 yards. When they get the ball at the 30, they will take a lot of time off the clock because they have a quarterback that can run. He gets down the goal line. Even though you know he's going to have the ball, you can't stop him.
That's right. And he's got more weapons.
And he's got more weapons. Big guys at wide receiver, they can eat up a lot of clock offensively.
I think with the weapon, I mean, especially when we'll wait and see what the Brew McCoy ruling is as far as the waiver goes. But, you know, big athletes. I saw where Gil Brandt, the great NFL scout, the legendary, you know, one of the architects of America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. How about this from Mr. Gil Brandt yesterday? He ranked his top senior wide receivers for the class, for the draft of 2020. Number one, Colin Johnson, Texas football. Number two, K.J. Hill, Ohio State. Number three, Tyler Johnson from Minnesota. Juwan Johnson from Oregon. And then Michael Pittman from USC. But number one on the list, Colin Johnson.
Man, you got a guy like that. I mean, unless Lincoln Riley can just, like Nick Saban, crap out another quarterback, I mean.
He can crap a quarterback, but because the other thing about Oklahoma is they still have those very small defensive backs. And that's against Texas, who have come in with a basketball team. That's going to be a disadvantage when you've got 6'6" Colin Johnson and you've got Malcolm Epps at 6'6.5", and you've got big receivers like that can get after it. Jordan Whittington creating mismatches. Brew McCoy is a big receiver even as a freshman. That's going to be mismatch city for Texas, and that's what his offense is all about.
Texas 25-1 to win the national championship. I don't know about winning it, but to get there,
to the four.
Just beat Oklahoma.
Twice.
To beat them twice.
Twice.
Beat their ass.
Beat them once last year.
Go get them.
Had them tied in the fourth quarter.
And don't lose the games that people will say about Tom Herman. Well, he didn't get him up for that game. Don't have any of that kind of stuff. You don't play Maryland. The Texas Techs of the world, the Baylors of the world. Oh, I think Baylor will be the surprise team that will be good. But beat those teams. I mean, just you beat them, E, and you go into games like LSU. You can lose to LSU and still play for a national championship. If you take care of your business with OU, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, good stuff. College football can't get here fast enough. Not that we're counting the days, but it's inside 100 now, 105 to the Longhorn game. We come back, we will get you one more PGA Championship leaderboard. We'll also tee it up for the self-proclaimed award-winning midday program here and reset the day, including a doubleheader at the Dish for the Longhorns. Got a big softball regional going on over at McCombs Field. Big stuff. We'll reset all that for you to get you into your weekend here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on this Friday, wrapping up our show for the week. Of course, we'll be back on Monday morning, bright and early, to recap the entire weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly, including the final episode of Game of Thrones. This is, guys, the writers of GOT are doing the next Star Wars movie. HBO wanted to keep going, but the writers wanted to move on. That's why everything seems so rushed.
Interesting.
There's a theory. Hey, we got to get on to Star Wars. Let's just get this thing over with.
Past couple of Star Wars sucked.
So that'll be part of a big weekend, including, if you like baseball, this is your weekend. You know, like softball over at McCombs Field, it's the Texas Regional. It'll be A&M as the one seed with Texas Houston and Sam Houston State. Longhorns will play likely their final two games of their season today over at the Dish, 1 o'clock and 6:30. You'll hear them on the horn. Of course, the first game on 101.9 and AM 1260. The nightcap, by the way, you got to buy your extra tickets. You got to go in and out. Can't just stay. Admission for both. That's the day-night doubleheader.
Is this where the AD shows up and says, okay, everybody in for free?
Maybe. Maybe. But so that's going on. Also, the high school baseball playoffs continue with the three-game series. I saw where Lake Travis lost last night. They're on the ropes now to San Antonio Johnson. Round Rock got beat by Cy Ranch, which was a big win down there in Mumford where they're playing. Westlake did get a win. They beat San Antonio Reagan in a big win. And Dripping Springs, big win for a walk-off win for them over Kerrville Tybee. So those games continue. Astros and Red Sox this weekend. Big time series at Fenway Park. Both teams are 9-1 in their last 10. They are red hot. That's going to be a lot of fun. And how about this? The Rangers, Buck, will host the Cardinals. It's the first time St. Louis has been to Arlington since the 2011 World Series, which we know how it ended. Don't mention that to Trey and BK.
Yeah.
The Forbidden City, as they call it.
I think I may end up at Lake Travis today. I think it's the spring game for them tonight.
Lake Travis football?
I think so.
Nice.
See what Hudson Carr looks like a little bit.
Yeah, I may make a. I'm trying to think. And Texas State has that huge series going on with UT Arlington. They're trying to clinch the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt Conference for Ty Harrington. They lost last night 5-3, but they have a chance tonight to clinch the regular season, which would give them the top seed in the Sun Belt tournament. So plenty of baseball this weekend, in addition to the golf and the PGA Championship and everything going on. I got to give some props. Speaking of the Texas Rangers, you see this, Wags? See this, Buck? So Texas Rangers tweeted out a home run, one of the 5 home runs the Rangers hit yesterday in Kansas City. Hunter Pence, 456-foot bomb. And Hunter Pence has had a resurgence in the Ranger lineup. His wife, Alexis Pence, took to Twitter, retweeted the home run, and said, "Hunter's got a good long stroke, 456. Hashtag size matters."
That's what she said, huh?
Yeah, props to Mrs. Pence.
Good job.
That's funny. Nice job. That's the way to go with it. That's the way to take that deep, if you know what I mean.
That dude is going home run a lot.
Home run.
Job by Hunter.
Way to go, Hunter Pence, former Round Rock Express player, former Corpus Christi Hook. So, yeah, baseball on the brain. We got golf with Brooks Koepka on top, and Dustin Johnson still four back. Missing
a five-footer.
Yeah, he's still three under for his round today, but he's to three back of the championship. Your guy, Danny Liebuck, has got a stroke back. He's down just plus three for the tournament. He had gotten to plus five.
Went totally backwards, and now he's moving again.
So we'll see what the weather turns up this afternoon.
How about Tommy Fleetwood? Do you think he's got a chance in there?
Yes. Remember Tommy Fleetwood and Brooks Koepka? Remember the U.S. Open a year ago on Sunday when Fleetwood posted that 63, one of the great rounds you'll ever see? Everyone else was scuffling on that course, and Fleetwood almost got himself a victory. So I think Fleetwood hit three under, is in the mix. He'll tee off just behind the group that has Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods, so he'll play in back of those guys and
George
see what Spieth's Brooks
has got to get a couple more right now.
Yeah, Spieth to minus two. He's even for the round today. No, he's one under, so he's two minus two.
Yeah, he needs to be about four or five. He needs to get it cranked up. And Tiger Woods would have to shoot 65 to be even in it today, I think.
I don't think he's really in it, is he? Now, and here's the deal. It's all about Koepka. It's Koepka's tournament. If he goes out and posts something in the 60s and it's double digits under par, it's like Tiger back in the day. You're chasing Koepka, and you don't want to be chasing on this course because at that point, Koepka can just play smart, conservative golf.
And a guy can hit irons off the tee box the rest of the day, the weekend.
He's that good. I mean, yesterday was as good a ball striking round as you'll ever see from a guy tee to green, and it was just awesome. And then he made some putts. And,
well, I took Koepka in this whole thing to win anyway.
I know you
this
did.
Week.
And you took him in your Horn FM picks, right? So you're feeling good about that.
He's making it look too easy.
All right. Also, some breaking news. We talked about this a lot yesterday, but there's a new piece of information here. There you go. Latest from the Wolverine. The Wolverine, the rival site that covers the University of Michigan. By the way, is this the year Michigan steps up and takes down Ohio State? Is this Jim Harbaugh's year now that Urban Meyer is gone?
No.
Well, here's the deal. This says from their reporting, just getting ready to leave home for covering the NBA Combine yesterday, some things we have been hearing and believe today. The initial barrage of information / misinformation is now giving way to getting down to business. We strongly believe that Texas coach Shaka Smart remains a front runner here. And while reports have Juwan Howard moving up and Butler's Laval Jordan in the mix, President Ed Cooley is also on the radar. Or Providence's Ed Cooley, President. Providence's Ed Cooley is also on the radar. But their information is that Texas coach Shaka Smart remains a front runner for the Michigan head coaching
Juwan job. Howard been coaching at NBA?
Yeah, where is?
Where's Juwan Howard been coaching?
I don't know. He was one of the Fab Five. I know that. But Shaka Smart, we'll keep an eye on it. Could that evolve over the weekend? Michigan needs a new coach with John Beilein off to the NBA. And some think there's some connection there. So
if they offer him the job, it's bye.
Yeah, well, that becomes the question. He's been Juwan has been an assistant with the Miami Heat.
Okay. Oh, that's right. He's been there for a while.
Yes. This guy says, Wags, take that back about Star Wars.
Can't do it. Can't.
Concordia Baseball playing in the D3 regional today against TLU, Texas Lutheran. Tommy Boggs' team 34-10. So good luck to everybody this weekend. High school playoffs. Texas and Oklahoma. Texas State looking to clinch a conference championship. Sweet stuff. Plus, when we come in here on Monday, Buck, is it Brooks Koepka as the winner?
Yes,
of the,
it is. Yes, it is.
Of the Watermaker Trophy?
Yep.
Wags, who's on top of the Iron Throne when we come in on Monday?
Sansa? Can't back down from it now, man. I've been saying it all along.
I'm going Bran. Bran Stark.
I'm going Mother of Dragons.
Nice! Nice pick!
Yeah.
Mother of Dragons. No one took Jon Snow. No one's got Jon Snow.
He must die.
He knows nothing.
Will Jon Snow be alive on Monday?
No, he must die.
What about the little man?
He has to survive. You can't kill off the little guy.
Okay, well, we'll find out on Sunday night. We'll be talking about all on Monday. Join us. Remember, it's good, bad, and ugly. Have a wonderful weekend. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com.